You're listening to the Pete and Sebastian Show on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
Petey Biscuit, it's Jimmy from Boston. Petey, gossiping with and then going cheek to cheek with your barber to review and praise your haircut was the bounciest shit I had ever heard. That is, until Biscuit begged you to view him on cam live topless so he could show off his 1980s George Michael father figure beard. Holy shit, was that awkward. Later.
Yeah, right. No way. No way. What is this garbage?
Well, I guess it would be nice if I could touch your body. I know not everybody.
Are you casting? Clap it up. 3, 2, 1.
Oh, shit.
We're right into it. We'll do intros later. What are you talking about now?
J.J. Watt, I think he just stepped off the ESPY stage.
Right, we're doing a three-way text right now, and you're thinking he's texting as he just got off the stage?
I think the show's done. He looked at his phone, and he's chiming in with our three-way text. What do you think he's doing?
I thought he was like at an In-N-Out Burger already. That's what you do in L.A. after the award shows. You go to In-N-Out Burger.
In-N-Out? This guy's at a Hollywood party. What In-N-Out?
That's what they do. Goldie Hawn, Kate Hudson, they all go to the In-N-Out Burger after a big Oscar win, and then they go to those parties. It's like the cool thing to do. Anyway, I don't. What's going on?
If you turn to me after the Oscars and say we're going to In-N-Out, I'd say to you, I'm going to Spielberg's house.
But don't you want to blow the mind of the common man and walk into In-N-Out Burger before you go to Spielberg's and just plop the trophy down on a table and get a bacon double cheese, and everyone's like, dude, this guy's so fucking real.
Real? I'd be doing that the rest of the week, going to In-N-Out Burger, Starbucks with the trophy. That night, I'm going straight to the party.
But I bet you, and let's not text them, but I bet you there's In-N-Out Burger talk.
I'll text them right now.
And just say, has anyone mentioned going to In-N-Out Burger after the awards? Anyone, throw that out there.
I'm gonna say Pete thinks people go to In-N-Out Burger.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not saying they all carpool, bro. I'm saying there's probably been somebody at the awards going, God, I'm gonna get In-N-Out Burger. Or, you're going to In-N-Out Burger? Or, it's been talk. He's heard the. Someone's brought it up that night, without a doubt. Not any other place. Not McDonald's or Burger. In-N-Out Burger.
All right, done. It's there. He's got the text. We'll see what happens. If I make it throughout the whole show without running to the bathroom, I'd be amazed. I am on a IZO cleanse right now, which contains 13 juices, 3 liver detox capsules, and 3 relax capsules.
What are you detoxing for? What's going on?
I don't know. We're coming off a lot. And we're going on vacation soon, so Lana found this unbelievable cleanse. So I'm on my, what juice am I on? I'm on number 10. It's called the Replenish Juice. It's a kidney fortifying tea. Next juice, I got it lined up right here, is number 11, which is a scrumptious pineapple greens. And it's an accelerant. So once I get into number 11, I might not stop talking.
Oh, all right. Wow. So this is all going to be going on while we're doing the show. Now, is there, because I've detoxed once with Jackie, which was an amazing experience. And I'm wondering, when we did it, you sacrificed everything else to the point where one day you can't even have anything but water and it can only be distilled water. Mm. You can't even have a piece of gum. Now, are we doing that, or is this also with regular healthy diet?
No, this is pure liquid. Just started today, and I got to tell you, I feel clear. I feel energetic. it's given me an abundance amount of energy, and I haven't had a morsel of food all day. But I've been on the toilet like you wouldn't believe, man. I don't want to get too graphic, but...
Right. Well, there's two things going on. There's two things. First of all, you're not hungry because you've been eating like such a fucking bear for the past 2 weeks that it's like your body's been preparing for hibernation. This is walking around hibernation going on. And two, it's like, you know, they say the walls are caving in on the sides of your intestines. It's all scraping off the sides.
Well, that's an interesting point because I brought it up to Lana. I said, is the going to the bathroom the combination of juices all kind of mixing together in your stomach and the laxatives? Or is my stomach like a dirty car and it's all washing out through my asshole?
And what'd she say?
We text the guy. And the guy said it's a combination of kind of all three. The laxative, the liquids, and you getting rid of some toxins in your body. So this could be a scam.
I don't like the one you're doing at all for a few reasons. One, you're doing laxatives, which should be a natural process. It shouldn't be you having to get something to make yourself do this. By the way, can I do a side note while we're talking about this? The influence of something that you like or that you care about. Like, I was in an airport bathroom recently in an unfortunate situation where I had to go number two and I wanted to go quick. But I try not to push and let it come out naturally because about 12 years ago on his radio show once, Stern said he never pushes. It's not good to push. Mm-hmm. That's it. So I could read every medical journal in the world. I don't give a shit. Stern says don't push. I try not to push. Even in a Detroit layover where I'm running late for boarding. And it's like the weirdest things you latch onto right now. Anyway, back to the fucking what we're talking about here.
As long as we're there, and again, I don't want to go potty humor here, but when...
No, we never do, so it's okay once in a blue moon.
When you're in a public restroom and you're going number two, do you make any sounds? I mean, the amount of sounds I'm hearing come out of people, you would think they were in the privacy of their own home. I mean, I am as quiet as a mouse in there.
It is incredible how as long as people can't see you, like a child, if you cover a child's eyes, it'll do anything because it can't see you, so you must not be able to see it.
Yeah.
So they just sit behind that divided wall and fucking grunt and groan and shit, and it's like, what are you doing? Giving birth to a calf over there? Get your shit together.
Sometimes I want to say something like, all right, already. You know, just to calm that down. You know, but God, anyway, that bothers me.
But when you go, into number two in public, you know as well as I do, you got nobody to blame but yourself for being in that situation. I should have timed this shit out better. I'm an adult.
Oh man!
Can I say now to cleanse, dude? When I did it, I want to add to your thing. I had a guy, Dr. Tom, and me and Jackie did it. Now, basically speaking, I'll make this quick. The reason I wanted to do it was because the idea is your body works so hard to break down all the chemicals we put in it. Even shampoo in your hair. Your body has to break all this shit down. And it takes away energy that it could otherwise use to do other things for your body. So when you start to not put any of this shit in your body anymore and you're detoxing and you're taking everything out, And then by the end, with this guy, we didn't do any juices. We did it was, like I said, distilled water, and it was some powders. But it was really like raw vegetables, and it was real natural stuff. And he's like, when you eat the raw vegetables, they're scraping your intestines now. There's no food left, and now those vegetables are going through, and they're all brittle, and they're just scraping your sides. Because you're 5 days in, you haven't eaten anything, and you're shitting like you just finished a Thanksgiving meal.
Yeah, no, and that's right. You're dead on, man. And I'm not using laxative. These are, they're called laxative, but they're actually natural within the juice that makes you go to the bathroom. I'm not like popping pills or anything. This is like purified antifungal antiviral liquid I'm drinking.
Wow. All organic, I would imagine,
this is
for
all,
sure.
This is terrible. But we got to get ready. We got to get in grease shape.
Well, then what's going to happen, too, is just to finish this with the listeners for you, too, and you know, right, is your body now doesn't have any of this shit going in it anymore, and then it can focus on your skin and your hair And they even say, the guy I was dealing with said, you can get to this heightened major acute awareness where you're just so zoned in on the moment.
I love that.
And I reached that once. I was at Sirius Radio and I'd been detoxing and I was down to the day where I had nothing in me for like, this is day two of nothing in me of a 5-day, overall 5 days into the detox. And my body was so pure, and I was talking to DJ Lou, and I started talking quicker and faster. And it was like, bro, I could see. I was like Scarlett Johansson in that sci-fi movie with powers beyond all of you. And I was just, I was fucking Tom Cruise, man. I was there. And it only lasted like, I'm kidding, not like 7-8 minutes. And it was just incredible hot. But for the rest of the day, it felt great. And then I kind of bailed on everything 2 days later because I just wanted to get to that point. So I bailed 2 days too soon. But even by then, my skin was glowing and I was just a fucking machine. Is that what you're doing,
bro?
Do
you think you can maintain that feeling at a consistent level for the rest of your life? Like,
That's Tom Cruise. That's what they say he's like.
What's he on?
Juice and shit, what you're on. He's on what you're on. You're going to be flying Cessnas within the end of the month, bro.
The United Jet that's approaching Whiskey, can you get in?
Yes, sir, after the guy ahead of me moves on.
Sir, you taxi into the ramp. The second JetBlue behind that United, who is that?
Sebastian's here.
Okay, very good.
I don't do business that don't make me smile. I love my aeroplane, cause she got style. I'm a treetop flyer.
That shit's hot, man.
Maybe I'm almost at optimal level right now because I gotta tell you, I feel fantastic.
But you're a day in, bro.
I'm a day in, and I've never felt better.
So what's does it get more difficult? Do you have to sacrifice more as the days go on?
It's just 13 juices a day, and you could do it as long as you want. I'm on day one. Lana started yesterday. She's on day two, so she's kind of been up and down with her mood swings. But at this time yesterday, Lana felt the same way I do, just a heightened awareness, re-energized of the body. So I don't know. Right now I'm feeling good, but every once in a while, man, I tell you, I was driving around town doing some errands, and I had to race back home to go to the bathroom.
Well, that's good because you're clearing it out. So if we were going to do the new Hollywood, apparently, one-day detox, yeah. Maniscalco's kept going. Can you tell us the night before, what was the last thing you ate the night before the detox? And was it something heavy or was it light dinner? Or like, what should we do the night before to prepare?
Well, to be honest with you, I came home from New York City last night on the plane, so I just had plane food. So it was just like a chicken rice deal on the plane. And I didn't really know I was going to do this until last night when Lana goes, you should try it. I'm like, all right, I'll try it. And so I didn't have like a, going to death last meal. I had some weird rice chicken combination on the flight, got home, and she's like, we're doing juicing tomorrow. And I said, I don't know if I want to do that. She says, just do it with me. We got to get in shape. And I said, all right, fine. And I got to tell you, this is the best thing I've done since moving out to Los Angeles.
Oh, these juices and teas, can we get them all over the counter?
No, this is a specific guy you got to go to. He'll actually overnight it to you, FedEx it. It's called IZO Cleanse. His name is Tim Martin, I believe. And go to his website, IZOCleanse.com, and read all about it. And I haven't really got that much into it, just kind of listening to what my wife is saying about this guy. But I'm swearing by it right now.
Can you tell me out loud what I should get for a day's worth of detox? And what do you got going?
All right. It starts at 7 a.m. or whenever you wake up. And you have the first one, which is that antifungal, antiviral, alkaline water. And then, boom, you move right into the green juice with some seaweed, some algae. After that, you take a little garlic fennel flaxseed soup with a...
Is that lunch? Is that my lunch now?
No, we're at 8 a.m.
What am I doing? I'm just sucking
you're
all this
sucking
liquid
down
for like
you're
an hour?
You're taking one juice an hour up until 4 o'clock. Then you go 2 hours. And then you go another 2 hours. So, yeah, you're banging out juice. 13 juices. Then you do this little weird thing they got in here. It's a little quintessential mineral vial.
The 13 juices ain't weird. But okay, here we go. What do we got
it's
now?
It's a little mineral vial that you swish around in your mouth for about 60 seconds and then you swallow it. God knows what the hell that does, but it comes in this little vial. You're almost like, reminds me of that movie that Bradley Cooper was in where he took some memory pill. What was that movie?
Limitless.
Limitless. I felt like I was in Limitless.
Oh, well, so when you talk to the guy that you and Lana called to say, I forget whatever question went to ask him again, does he tell you when you should stop? When he says, whenever you feel like stopping, what lets you know when you should stop?
Well, I don't know. There's different programs. There's a 2-day, there's a 5-day, I mean, there's a month. I mean, he ain't going to tell you to stop because if he tells you to stop, this guy loses money.
All right, so this is you got your old man's attitude coming out here with the detoxing. You're like, one day's good. We're all good. What are we doing over here?
Well, I tell you what, man. I was looking at a magazine. It was a wine magazine that I get on a monthly basis, and my mouth was salivating looking at the bottles of wine, and then they had like a cheese plate that somebody was eating, and I'm like, I almost told Lana, put the fucking juices down and let's go get some wine.
Oh, come on, man. You're 8 juices in. You got to do the last 5.
No, yeah. I'm in. I haven't drank alcohol in 8 days. And I'm telling you, I feel phenomenal.
Why, you know? But as far as detoxing more than one day, it's like I saw an old bumper sticker once that said, don't smoke weed if you're already stoned because you're just wasting weed. So it's like, why would you drink 13 juices tomorrow? You're already superhero,
yeah,
baby.
I am on it. The guy texts us back after we said, what's going on? I got the verbatim of what he actually told us. He said, certainly the laxative is doing a lot of it. In a sense, it's the combination, but really not of the specific drinks. But the fact that you're liquid only, which is what is causing you to detox, dump, at the cellular level. This guy's on another level with the language. We need somebody from MIT to decipher what this guy's saying.
No, this is like sometimes those comedians are doing the same jokes we're all doing, but they're using big words, and we go, whoa, he's an alt comic. Listen, basically, if you didn't eat anything for 2 days, you're going to shit because you're loaded. Like I said, you're loaded with crap. You've been, you know, from eating, drinking, partying, who knows what you had up there in North Carolina. Yeah. And what you're doing now is you're having these juices to like flash flood your fucking intestines. My God, I keep laughing at my own shit. You hack.
Oh,
but anyway, man, so we don't need no MIT. This guy's trying to, what is he, the detox dump?
Detox
you know what time
dump,
is, man.
Bro. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What do you got? Where you at? San Antonio in some hotel off a freeway?
Yeah, wow, that sounds like the beginning of a Waylon Jennings song. Yeah, man, that's exactly where I am. I want to ask you right out of the gate, if you don't mind. I saw yesterday, actually speaking of bumper stickers, it said John 3.13, and it was like a Bible thing,
yeah.
You know? And I know you were an altar boy, so I wrote it down because I wanted to ask you on the show. When you hear those numbers, do you understand what that means? Like, is that like car talk with mechanics only know? Like when they go, like Luke said in 9:16, like what? Like if you say that to somebody who knows, do they know? Give me a Bible. I know exactly how to look up 9:16.
Yeah, I would assume if you know the Bible back and forth, you would know that's chapter 3, verse 16. But I don't know exactly know what the hell it is. I don't know what that means. I see it at football games a lot. Is that a Google?
But like, if I wanted to look this up, if I said to you, hey, brother, you know what he said, Luke in 9:17, does that mean you go to chapter 9?
Verse 17, and it's right there.
Ah! Oh, man, for all you people out there right now that are like, you're a dummy, Corielli, everyone knew that, I apologize. I never knew it was that simple.
Yeah, I just don't know what the hell John 3:16, people know, they could rattle that right off their... their head. I didn't know what it was. I'm reading it. I still don't know what it means.
What does it mean?
No idea. In him should not perish, but have everlasting. Okay, so, okay. For God so loved the world, then he gave his only Son.
Jesus.
Yeah. Amen. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. So if you believe in Jesus, you're not going to perish,
yeah,
but have everlasting life. So if you believe in God, you're gonna go to heaven and live eternally.
Here's something I want to throw out. Out in Omaha, Nebraska, I want to say I had a great time out there. Awesome club, the Omaha Funny Bone. And at one point, I'm out front taking photos, meeting people. Got my T-shirts. The first T-shirt I sold, bro, I'm telling the guy, bro, that's a collector's. It's the first one ever. So anyway, one show, the guy, I wish I knew the guy's name, was hanging out next to me to work for the club. But woman comes out. Attractive woman, you know, middle-aged, very in shape. I want to say, you know, like runner or someone who works out. And she's got her husband with her, totally normal couple. Oh, we love the show. And she's like, can I take a picture of you? And I was like, of course, you know. So he takes the camera, and she goes, hold on. And as soon as they're ready to take the photo, she picks me up, bro.
Oh, no.
She cradles me like baby
Finster. Oh, God.
And she's got these biceps because she's a bodybuilder chick, and she's holding me, and I think I might have been a little heavy than she thought, and she's shaking with her arms, looking at her husband, like, take the photo, Tom. And I'm like, what are we doing? What are we? And she was almost dropping me, so I almost had to kind of hold myself up on her shoulder. She thought that was funny and shit, man. What's
Wait, first of all,
I couldn't.
When this is happening, when you're in the air,
yes,
are you like, hey, no, get down? Or are you like, can you please put me down? Like, what's the mood? Where are we at with this?
I'm like an old English woman kind of slipping on the ice. I'm like, whoa. And like, I'm trying to, like that, trying to figure out what's going on. Because she bent down behind me for a sec. Like, maybe I thought she dropped something. But what she did was she took that right arm and just scooped my legs right under the knee like a child that was misbehaving, man.
This sounds familiar, bro. I'm telling you, I think I had this. San Antonio?
No, this was Omaha, which isn't... Maybe she traveled.
But someone had asked to pick me up before, and it was a woman. And I go, we ain't doing that. I just have a hard time believing that you're kind of like playing along with this shenanigans and not going, could you please put me down? Because for those listeners out there, we love meeting you guys after the show and fans and taking the pictures, but there's like a line that you cross when you start like picking somebody up or physically hitting them. And
enough with the hitting.
It's just at that point you have the right to go put me down.
But it would have been awkward. Instead, I kind of did that thing where I'm looking at everybody else, making eye contact, like, what's with this lady right now? You know. And then when I was in the air, I was like, okay, all right, you know, and then I quickly came down, and it was much more, by the time I was down, the way I handled it, she was more embarrassed having done it,
yeah,
than it was worth, and I didn't want to make it anymore. It was kind of like she realized, okay, this isn't the guy who's into that. Maybe next week. Check the calendar.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm thinking other people are sitting in line waiting to meet you going, oh, we could pick them up.
Yeah, we get to pick them up. Come on, bro. So, yeah, but she didn't ask. Speaking of which, picking up, I guess because I brought it up, even though you played along, I've been getting a little bit of a flack for this double XL T-shirt comments, man, from last show.
Why? What's the problem?
Oh, I had somebody say, I'm a double XL, so I guess you don't have a T-shirt for me. Maybe you should be more sensitive, Pete. Oh, come on. I tweeted back, bro, it was a joke.
Man.
Somebody, somebody else is going, I'm coming to the show, but don't bring those summer camp t-shirts, I guess. That's like,
that's,
I'm getting double XLs, people. Relax. I'm getting
wow.
them.
Wow.
They're going to come with, they're going to come with,
that's what happens when you go into the clothing business.
Oh, no.
You're like the new, you're like the Lululemon CEO.
That's right.
We don't make, we don't make clothing for bigger people. Sorry.
Well, we'll be running a special. We will have double XL t-shirts. They will, they will come with tent stakes.
Oh, there's another comment. There's another tweet.
So what about you? Let's bounce it
well,
back.
Man, I don't know where to begin. I was at the Stress Factory this week, and I met a guy who works there who also works at the TSA, and I wanted to ask him a few questions in regards to what it is being a TSA guy. And he had a couple interesting questions he asked me. And one of the questions, which I want to propose to you, was, who do you think gives the TSA the most problems? And when I say problems, like lip, they get angry. It could be a specific group of people. It could be a specific gender, age. Who do you right. think gives the TSA the worst problems?
I would guess people like my sister. Middle-aged, white, you know, not rich, but well-off, upper class. You know, just,
Well, you're close. It's men who are white over 40.
Ah, see, don't get me wrong. I love my sister and she's awesome and she'd be cool at TSA because she listens. I got to make sure I make that clear. But that type, yeah. sometimes that entitlement, yeah. you know, like who, you know, that who goes, who pays your salary?
Yeah. Yeah. That's, yeah. that's the guy that he says, rules don't, pertain to him when he goes through the line. Like, I'm not doing that. It's not me, you know, that guy. So that, after talking to this guy, I guess there's 25 layers of security at the TSA. Everything from, you know, eye contact to body movement to what you're carrying, how you put your bags on the thing. I mean, they're looking at everything. He goes, you might not think they're not looking, but they're looking at every move that you make. There's cameras in the sky. There's all this different things. And this guy actually had a heart attack because he was under so much stress working there, because he goes, that's all it takes for me to make one mistake and, you know, I lose 185 people in the air. So he made a good point. But as he was describing what he was doing for a living, he was saying, what ethnic group and or gender, or same question, uses the most sex toys? Who do you think it might be? Going through the X-ray machine, who do they find the most sex toys? What bag?
We're gonna go back to women like my sister again.
You are correct, sir.
I am middle-aged white women, man.
Asian, you know, Asian mean, men.
Asian. I tell you, man. I don't want to get too personal, but yeah, but Asian men too. They a long distance flight. They get their breath really takes a turn for the worse. Hey, listen, we all have our faults, man. We all have our faults, but that's a after. You do not want to. 6 hours is the limit. You do not want to go across the pond sitting next to an Asian man. You will. You will have to. You'll be devastated.
I agree.
Thank you, bro. Asian women, I've said it before, that's like flying with a fancy bag next to you. It's fantastic. They don't move. No bathroom use, no move in a tray. So, come on, though. Dude, seriously, sometimes you have an LAX, and don't you feel like, as you're on that giant line, you could be mumbling under your breath, fucking bomb, fucking bomb, 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 bomb. And you'll just go right through. They ain't watching you. They want you to think they're watching
you. I don't know.
You.
This guy says they're watching every move you make. He said that one time there was a quarter left in one of the bins after it went through the x-ray machine. And a guy said, is this everybody's quarter? And he goes, no. Okay, put it in his pocket. They took him in the room because he stole a quarter out of the bin.
Well, how about this? If they know everything you do, then how come constantly you're hearing whoever left a black belt and the da-da-da? Shouldn't they just be going, Jerry, flight 363, C-12B, you left your belt, guy. I mean, what's that about?
Well, I mean, if you, a passenger, take somebody else's money out of the bin and put it in your pocket, they're thinking that it could be one of these transfer of whatever, or maybe that... You know,
a code.
I mean, he got into it so much to say, because I go, why 3.3 ounces? Why can't you have anything over 3.3 ounces? If I snuck in with 3.4, that's going to be the deal breaker for a bomb? And he goes, no, the actual cutoff point is 4 ounces. That's all you need is 4 ounces of liquid and a cell phone, and you have yourself a bomb. So they give you like 7 ounce. They give 7 ounce leeway. I guess 3.3 ounces ain't going to take a plane out of the sky. But you kick it up to 4, it's done.
Right, right.
So, yes.
Yeah, but again, why can't I just have the other 0.7 in another container?
That's what I'm thinking.
So, I mean,
you know what it is?
And I'm not even in a cave with no TV. I'm just banging this out with you in 10 minutes.
You know what it is?
Imagine what Al Qaeda's thinking of.
It just hit me why. Because the container has to be able to hold 4 ounces. If you don't have anything that holds 4 ounces, then you can't make it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I can also fly with an empty 4 ounce container, man. I could fly with 20 of them and be like, I'm a container salesman, man.
I don't know, man. I mean, it's beyond my knowledge.
Well, how come sometimes if your ticket says pre-check, you can go through? When I was sleeping the night before, did you frisk me in bed? Did you go in my closet and check my bag? Why am I good to go today? I'm telling you, dude. It's all smoke and mirrors.
Smoke and mirrors. It could be. It could be.
Well, what else you got? What else did he say? The quarter thing could be a transaction. Right? Like one guy's code to tell the other guy
be.
If he takes the quarter off the tray, we're a go. We're a go. Right?
Yeah. Take the quarter off. That means he's got the material and we're a positive.
Shit. That's fascinating. Any talk of the dogs and what they smell and what they
can't? Didn't get into the dogs. However, I've often wondered this. And I just found this out. There's an article that came out a couple of days ago that came across my desk in Fortune magazine about a VIP select program that Delta offers celebrities who want to stay away from the paparazzi after they get off a flight. Now, I'm just going to present this to you. Not that you would do it, but tell me if this sounds fantastic. They come and get you for $350 on top of your full fare first class ticket with a brand new Porsche Panamera or Cayenne SUV. They whisk you away. They pick up your luggage. You get out of the airport and go to a private exit where then you're taken to some undisclosed location where you'll be met by your own driver.
He's in a motorcycle on a single mile long track that winds up at a construction site.
Oh, by the way, I wanted to talk about that.
I don't want to take you off of this because this is really fascinating. Now, is this $350 a person?
$350 a passenger. I don't know if you get, like, if it's you and your wife, if they cut you a deal, but the article I read said $350 on top of your first class ticket. You could basically get whisked away and nobody even knows you were on the flight and taken to some weird location where you call your Uber or driver to pick you up there.
That's not that much money for such an unbelievable perk, man.
Yeah, it's. I just want to find out. I want to try this out. First of all, I'm not saying I'm a big celebrity where I would even get considered for this, but I just want to call up and go, listen, I'm having a problem with paparazzi when I get my bags. Do you offer something? And I want to see if I could qualify.
Oh, bro, you qualify. What are you kidding me?
I just want to do it. I don't want to. I just want to. I want to see how it works.
Well, you first of all, you should do it because, I mean, for $200, I would just take a ride on the car right through regular LAX out to my car. I mean, you're also paying for the convenience of just being scooted away from the madness.
Oh, it's. I had a small taste of that, and I forgot to mention this on the last show. And thanks goes out to my my father-in-law and mother-in-law for providing Lana and I with a helicopter ride from the mountain in North Carolina to the airport.
Oh, my God. Oh my God.
Hey.
That is fucking awesome, dude.
The ride by car is about 2 hours down a windy mountain road, and I get nauseous, right? So it takes 2 hours to get from point A to point B in a car, and yeah.
Yeah, and we all know that your father-in-law knows you get nauseous because you got sick when you drove on the ice in the Porsche in Finland. In your fucking imaginary world that you live in, let's not forget Sebastian. Most people say, "Oh, Pete gets nauseous from remember we were on the swing at Jones Beach." I'm having fun with you, bro, but hilarious. God. Okay, we don't want to skirt you down the mountain and have you up chuck your caviar.
Oh my God. Well, okay. He had said that he was going to get the helicopter when we arrived, but unfortunately the weather was bad and they had to cancel the helicopter, so we drove. And
he couldn't pay for the sun.
Yeah, the sun was unavailable for purchase that day.
It was tied up. Spielberg rented it for the Hamptons.
So he said,
"So cool, dude. So you need this in society. You need to aspire to moats and castles, man.
Yeah,
you man, do.
It was
fucking Cuba. Fuck that."
So I was curious to see how this whole thing works. So the helicopter takes off from one of the golf courses right across from where we were staying. So my father and mother-in-law drove us to the golf course, and there's just a helicopter sitting like on a beautiful hill, perched up, ready to go. Now, I'm like, wow, this is great, you know, thanks a lot. And then the first question I had is, what do you tip? Right. I turn to him, I go, we tip this guy? He goes, it's funny you asked that. He goes, I thought the same question when I first took the helicopter. But no, you do not tip the helicopter guy.
See, most men, and this is why you and your father-in-law, this is why he likes you too, but most men would be thinking, is there popcorn? I mean, no, not really, but I think I'd be thinking, can I bring beers? But I
that's a good question, too. I wonder if you could bring some alcohol on the helicopter ride. I don't see why not. Well, how fast do you think a helicopter goes?
80, 90.
171 miles an hour.
Wow, man. That thing is flying.
Yeah, it was flying, and I got a little nauseated because this is only the second time I've been on one. I got a little nauseated, so it was kind of hard for me to, you know, kind of look out the window at times. But after a while, man, it was really smooth. Plus, we had the guy, the trainee, was flying it. So, you know, I wonder maybe if it was a little rocky because he was just, I don't know, man. That helicopter looks like it's a difficult thing to maneuver. I would take that thing right into the ground.
Well, they say it's harder to fly a helicopter than a plane. If you can fly a helicopter, you can fly anything, they say. Now, let me ask you, when you're on the helicopter, is it like being on a regular, like a prop plane? Is it just noisy but the same idea? Do you have a seat with a tray, or is it much more like, are you wearing headphones? What's it like,
yeah,
dude?
Yeah, it's very loud, so they give you noise-canceling headphones, and then you have like a little microphone that's coming out of the headphone, almost like what a professional football coach would wear. And then you could talk to the pilots and whoever you're with through this microphone.
Now, that's interesting. Now, do you not talk? Do you talk casual, or it's only important talk? Like, look at the mountain to the right, or do you go like, fucking
no.
Nick's going with pausing on the fourth pick. What was that shit?
No. There was no serious chit chat. Number one, I couldn't really talk because, like I said, I was a little bit nauseated. But if we did speak, it was very general. It wasn't like, so you want to have kids? You know, it wasn't anything.
Yeah,
we were
going over
life's obstacles in the back seat. But there's six seats. Three on one side, three on the other, facing each other. And then there's two seats up front. And a seat belt, there's no tray table or anything like that. Luggage goes underneath. And I got to tell you, if there was a helicopter available to go to the Hamptons from New York City, I would jump on that in a heartbeat. I wonder how much it is. It's another thing. It's like, I didn't want to ask. I you know, it's kind of like, I mean, if it was my father, I'd go, what's this shit run? But, you know, my father-in-law, I really don't have that relationship. But my mother-in-law, I always jokingly go, how much? And they laugh and never yeah. tell me. So, I don't know. It's the way to go, though.
Well, let me ask you a few more. First of all, no restroom, right?
No restroom.
Now, no sort of stewardess or anything like that?
It's the room.
So this is just pure, like, get you there. And now when you land, do they wait for the blades to stop spinning before they let you off? Or do they tell you, duck, duck?
No, I think they stopped spinning before we got off the helicopter. We land at a private airport, and then a shuttle picks you up right there, drives you right to the terminal, and you're there. It's the way to go.
And you probably go... You go through a different security, too, right?
No. You're dropped off at the terminal just like everybody else. You're just coming from somewhere else, you know?
Oh, okay. Wow, man, that's... you know, it depends about the Hamptons. I remember I used to ride my bicycle by it. I can't remember what it cost, but if you wanted to do, like, a private helicopter, you and Lana, it would be a little more pricey. But I think you can, like, you know, get on a couple of seats for... $750 each, maybe a grand one way.
You think? For a 2-hour ride?
Yeah, but you know, man, those birds have been known to fall in the river lately, man. I mean, you know. It's yeah, but I mean, you could rent a nice car and cruise out there. It's a beautiful drive, too.
All right, here, I just pulled something up here.
What do we got? I don't know what it is.
It's a 2-hour helicopter flight. This is in Hawaii from Kona.
Well, what do we care about that?
I'm just trying to get a four...
Hamptons. Google Hamptons.
Okay.
Google New York. 34th Street Heliport to Hamptons.
34th Street Heliport to Hamptons. Helicopter. All right. Helicopter. And 45 minutes. Oh, here we go. Here we go.
45 minutes? That's awesome! Holy shit!
It is fast. The trip can be short as 45 minutes in a Eurocopter AS350 B2 going 178 miles per hour. What do you think the cost is from that heliport to the Hamptons?
Per person. I'm thinking one way. I'm thinking the way you're making it sound.
Okay. Let me preface it by... It's seat six, so the cost is for the ride.
Yeah.
It's for the ride.
That's why I'm thinking it's not as bad as you may think. So that's why I'm thinking maybe like 11 or 12 a person, 1,200.
The total is $3,400 for the helicopter, which equals $567 per person.
Oh, God, bro. That's not the view. That's a facial.
Okay, if we had six people and we were leaving from New York to go to the Hamptons and you've done that ride, would you pay $600?
It depends when you're going. Most often in the summertime, you're going to hit massive traffic. Friday, for sure, would be insane, no matter what time you go. If I had the money, yeah, it would not only be so much faster, but the homes and the property and the scenery you're going to see is going to be stunning, dude. It's going to be, I mean, you're getting a $560 helicopter tour. The tour alone is worth $250.
I would take that in a heartbeat. By the way, my DVD is out, so this would be a great time to promote it. My DVD is out. It's available on Amazon.com. Go there. Get your copy of the DVD. It's got some great extras. It's got that dinner. It's got J.J. Watts on it. He does Take a Walk on it. So it's got some good extras. And also write a review. And if you don't want the DVD, go to iTunes and you can pick it off there.
We'll do it for Johnny.
What's up?
Well, I wanted to bring up this El Chapo.
Yeah. Ooh, man.
Now, for those of you that didn't hear the story, El Chapo is the Mexican drug lord who was in prison for about a year and recently has escaped through a mile-long tunnel that was built specifically for him from his cell to a house that was constructed to hide dirt from this tunnel that they dug out.
But dude, he got on the back of a motorcycle. Shit!
Can you believe, I'm stunned, number one, that it had electricity, they had a generator in the tunnel with ventilation, it was temperature controlled, there was a motorcycle there that they used to cart the dirt out of the tunnel, and this guy escaped. And they did this in probably a year. It took about $54 million to do this project. And the price tag was so high because they were figuring out the amount of people that he had to pay off to get this accomplished. I don't know what the construction costs were, but I'm sitting over here 6 months into my project. I'm thinking, I need the El Chapo contractors over here.
Now you gotta say, I'm 6 months in, I'm dropping so much. I swear to God, I'm literally waiting for El Chapo to pop up out of my backyard. With a big bag of money going, amigo, I'm so sorry to put you and your wife through this. Would you, seriously, I mean, come on, man. If you lived on the border and all of a sudden you got a knock on your door and they go, listen, this can roll one or two ways. It's up to you. But bottom line, El Chapo's coming up to your living room in about 3 days. So you can either take this $1 million and look the other way or die. But right up through the fucking living room. You're gonna hear it tap. Get off the couch. Get off the couch. It's going to be a pickaxe coming right through. And then El Chapo literally hops off a fucking motorcycle right in your living room. Would you take the million and clam up? I mean, how do you not tell? I would get drunk one night, bro, and just be like, dude, I would tell you who fucking came out through. Would you pay?
I think that story would trump any story that somebody had at a party.
Especially you telling it, because it'd be a long pause and you'd go, El Chapo.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah, I'd take the million. I'd say, yeah, no problem, bro.
Well, I mean, you got no choice, man. I mean, because they're going to kill you if you don't. But
well, they'll probably give you the million to kill you anyway.
Isn't that just so much cooler than the one in New York where they were, you know, they were banging the messy, overweight white chick, and she brought him keys or whatever, basically. Fuck. That sucked. That one was so much better with the tunnel was 30 feet down from the shower.
I know. I mean, they're showing footage in a security camera of this guy in his cell. before he disappeared into his shower.
This guy was sitting there. It looked like he had an iPad. I mean, this... What was he doing? Running the prison?
It was so nice. When they first came up to the shower, he waved them off.
I'm good.
He was running the prison.
This guy reportedly is worth over $1 billion. And I think they said a quarter of the drugs in the United States is supplied by this guy's cartel, as well as 60% of all drugs in Chicago are from this guy's cartel. I mean, it's unbelievable. They got to make a movie on this guy.
Well, I read the book. I should reread it again for the cast. Pablo Escobar. Yeah, you know how they actually finally got him in the end, dude?
Yeah, up on the roof, they shot him.
You know what he was wearing?
What was it, his underwear?
Flip-flops. I mean, he was another stump of he was in his flip-flops. They got him.
It's an awful way to go.
It is an awful way to go, but it speaks volumes about the man's confidence. I mean, I barely wear flip-flops in everyday life. If I was on the run from the FBI, I'd be like, I got no time for flip-flops. That's how comfortable he felt. He was actually in flip-flops.
Well, this Chapo apparently escaped prison, I think it was 12 years ago, through a laundry basket. I think he just dove in with the sheets, and they took him right out the back.
Same prison, I think, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous.
So do you think if Donald Trump was in a maximum security prison in America, within 10 to 15 years of his incarceration, he could mastermind with his money and his wit a way out?
You don't think there's been guys in prison that have been worth a large amount of money? John Gotti?
Yeah, but Gotti, we're not talking billion-dollar range. I'm talking the kind of money where Donald Trump could go up to the warden and say to the warden, walk me out tomorrow. You and I and our families get on a private jet to South America. When we land, I hand you a check for $1 billion. And you are untouchable in South America. Can't be exonerated back. Whatever it is, extradited. I mean, come on, man.
The warden ain't gonna do it.
I would skip all the bullshit. I go straight to the warden and go, I'll give you $1 billion and a ride out of America. I'll be like, well, do you need a red carpet or can I just fucking walk you out now with a six pack of Budweiser? How are we doing this? Are you going? $1 billion, dude.
$1 billion, and Trump goes free? I mean, I just don't see how I could elude the authorities after he escapes prison. They're going to be all over me.
Yeah, but aren't there countries that you could go to and you say to those countries, listen, I'll give you $100 million if you let me come and live in your country, and those countries have you can't extradite a prisoner. America can't go in there and take you and pull you out. So as long as you stay there, you're good to go. Bam! Done.
Yeah, who am I?
I'm the warden. I'm the warden. You give me $1 billion. I give them $100 million. I got $900 million, and I'm in Colombia in a fucking mansion. Oh, my God. It's crazy.
All right. Since we're on the topic of criminals and net worth, I pulled up some criminals. And I want to ask you how much you think they're
worth. Bro, you're like a regular Diane Sawyer, bro. You are impressive lately.
It's the juice, bro.
Enough with the hitting! That might have been the funniest fucking line in the history of the show, man.
Enough with the hitting!
Oh, all right, so what do you got? All right.
Al Capone, net worth. What do you think that guy was worth?
And even back then when it wasn't, it was a lot for that. I think like 30 mil.
$100 million. Al Capone.
Which is, that's what it was then? Yeah, or is
that's
what
it was
oh
then.
Oh my God. Oh, so that's like, what? That's got to be like
inflation. Billion? Yeah, it's got to be a billion.
Holy
shit. For some reason, on Celebrity Net Worth, they have Joey Buttafuoco.
Really?
Net Worth. For those of you who don't know, Joey Buttafuoco was the guy who had an extramarital affair with, I believe her name was Amy Fisher. And then Amy Fisher went to go and shoot his wife, but she did not die. She had just severe damage to her face.
Did I ever tell you the time I shared a limousine with Joey Buttafuoco?
I knew you would have a Joey Buttafuoco story. As soon as I mentioned that, I said, Pete has to know this guy. What's your story?
Well, it was years ago. My career in stand-up had just started. And there's a club on Staten Island called Grandpa's Comedy Club, owned by Grandpa from the Munsters.
Yeah.
I think it was Al Lewis was the guy's name. But anyway, so Buttafuoco had just gotten out of jail. Now, I was emceeing the show, and it was like almost like the first time I was ever even emceeing. So this was a huge, huge thing for me. It's like 20 years ago, and it was my birthday weekend. And the headliner was someone I know you know, Wheels Parisi.
Oh, yeah.
Wheels Parisi's a guy who rolls with dice clay, yeah. And he's a real Italian guy. So apparently Wheels Parisi was really good friends with Joey Buttafuoco. Mm-hmm. And Joey Buttafuoco had just gotten out of jail. So Joey Buttafuoco came to the shows one night, two shows Friday night. And for a few extra bucks or whatever, at the end of the show, before Wheels would get off, he'd like, I'd like to introduce a good friend of mine. Man, you might know, or you're going to know about him. And he'd introduce Joey Buttafuoco, and Joey would come up. And then Joey Buttafuoco and Wheels would have this thing where Buttafuoco would bet anybody, any man, if they could rip a telephone book in half quicker than he could. Because when you're in jail, when you're in prison for all those years, you get good at some things, you know what I'm saying, folks? And Joey Buttafuoco can rip a phone book in half. So if you pay $100, you come up and you get to sit next to Joey Buttafuoco and you're handed a phone book. And Joey Buttafuoco has a phone book and all these men, these goombas have phone books, all these Italian guys from Staten Island. And if you can rip your phone book in half, at all, let alone quicker than Buttafuoco can, you get to keep your 100 and you get Joey's 100. Well, I mean, I don't know if you know, bro, but nobody can rip a phone book in half. There's a trick to it. It's not just being a strong guy, but you'd have all these goombas with their big biceps and their tight t-shirts. But similar to you before Lana fucking saved you. I'm sorry, bro. I don't know if you used to listen.
That's absolutely true.
But anyway, they grabbed these phone books and they couldn't even rip a page because they're trying to rip it all at once. And then Joey Buttafuoco would and rip the whole fucking thing and scoop up the money. So after the second show, they were all going into New York City to the Vault, which is this like crazy sex club in New York City. And I lived in the city, and the only way you can get back to Staten Island if you have no car. You got to take this one subway all the way to the end, and then you get on a ferry. Then the ferry takes you over to Lower Manhattan. Then you're going to get on another subway. It's like fucking Ponce de Leon shit, man. It takes forever.
Yeah.
So they had a limo, and Wheels was like, why don't you take the limo, me and Joey and everybody? And I was like, you don't mind? He's like, well, I'll drop you off in the city, you know? And they had champagne, and I got in the limo, and they gave me a little champagne. I was really a mouse in the corner of the limo, but he had, he's only been out of jail for like fucking 5 months, and there was champagne, and with Wheels Parisi, and I got dropped off at the Vault. And the reason I always stand out is because my mother was so like, I can't believe you did that. I don't condone that. You hang out with you. I go, man, hang out with him? I bummed a ride so I didn't have to take a fucking ferry.
By the way, Buttafuoco's worth 20 grand. That's what it says on this thing.
Do you have anyone like Bernard Goetz? No. Jeffrey Dahmer.
No, these are like, mob guys, criminals, not like fucking cannibals.
Well, I'm just saying, I'd be more interested to know, like, when Jeffrey Dahmer was cooking people, was it like a financial thing? Was he like...
Was he selling the heads?
No, it's more like, fucking ramen noodles or... let me go get myself a nice Italian fucking liver with a fine Chianti. I wanted to ask you, speaking of restaurants, Okay. Remember the guy I told you who lived next door who's renting at the dog?
Oh, yeah, that you want to buy a piece of the property?
Right, right. Okay, so, but the guy who was renting owns a restaurant in town. And he's the one who had the old dog that I had once told on an earlier show, hey, you know, you got to take better care of your dog.
Yeah.
So over the past 2 years, this dog has been hanging in there. And we buy biscuits and we keep them in the garage. And every day, like 2-3 times a day, Sadie takes some biscuits and walks them over and feeds the dog. Barley's the dog, and feeds Barley and pets it and hugs it. Like, and the dog gets so excited. It's the only attention the dog's getting. We've been a lifeline for this dog for 2 years. And I preface that because a couple of weekends ago, Jackie and I and Sadie, it's a beautiful, like, weekend night, Saturday night. We drive up and we go to the guy's restaurant. And he's got an outdoor patio. We eat up there. The food's fantastic. Nice time, just the three of us. The only ones in the whole place. It's a quiet weekend. And the bill comes and the woman says, Jim downstairs would like to buy you guys a round or a dessert. Dude, shouldn't he have just picked up the tab?
Pick up the tab.
No, they really did have fantastic food. All right, bro, good hanging. I can't tell you how much I enjoy hanging with you doing this show.
Oh, it's so great, isn't it? I mean, I could go for another hour and a half if I didn't have to shit my pants. But listen, listen. What do you got? What do you got coming up? What's on the slate here?
What's coming up? Going on vacation next week, doing the family portrait ourselves, as I said. Then I'm hitting Tampa Side Splitters, August 6th through the 10th. Come on out, man. Tampa, I need you to come to that one. And it looks like the Showtime thing is going to drop in November.
Oh, but that's not
it's not official yet. But lastly, I want to say my newsletter. You guys are signing up left and right, and I appreciate it. I have a special newsletter coming out this Sunday. One particular feature I want to plug is I started from 3:30 in the morning until the end of my evening, and I just kind of documented the entire day via video, audio, photos, and of course me typing it out, my trip to Sioux City, Iowa, just to show you the day in the life of the travel of me as a comic and what went down. Bro, that's the day I sent you the video with the kid with the head thing.
Oh, yeah, what a great, great video. Yeah. Couple things going on over here. Number one, I want to tell everybody that I will be at the Montreal Comedy Festival starting this Monday for 1 week. I'll be performing 11 shows there. And also be doing a gala with Sir Patrick Stewart. You know who that is?
Oh, yeah, from Star Trek.
Yeah, from Star Trek. So looking forward to that. I did a show at Sirius. I don't know if you know this guy. His name's Ron Beddington.
I had met him once,
yeah. Yeah, he does a show called Unmasked. And I did that, which I had a great time on Monday. It's basically an hour show. It's like This Is Your Life. You basically take them from when you were a kid until now, and it's a great interview. I really had a great time. So I don't know when that's going to air, but it's going to be soon. And also the Raw Dog Takeover is also going to be soon. I'll be on Covino and Rich on Friday. I know this thing airs on Friday, but 9 o'clock. Those guys just moved out to Los Angeles. And I always love doing their show. So I'm just doing a lot of heavy press here for the DVD release. And then I go to Uncle Vinny's in Point Pleasant. And then from there, I will be going to Greece and Turkey with my beautiful wife. And I can't wait.
Are you buying Greece by any chance?
Well, the way my wife spends money, we might be able to bail them out.
Oh, that's awesome, dude.
So we gotta pick a time next week. I'll be in Montreal. So I'll be running into a lot of comedians, so I'll definitely have some stories from Montreal. So I know you're going on vacation, but just shoot me a message when you can do it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
All right, there you have it. Go to iTunes, Stitcher, download us, write a review. Get us more popular than we are. We literally love enjoy doing the show. And always a good time to talk to my good friend, Pete Corielli, and his trials and tribulations.
Hey, great hanging, brother. Right, great hanging.
Take care.
Later.
The show has ended.
I'm like an old English woman kind of slipping on the ice. I'm like, whoa, whoa.